Good morning.
Morning.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Yesterday is only a dream, tomorrow a vision. But if today is lived for Christ, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, every tomorrow a vision of hope. We'll read the scripture on the screen up there to start with to kind of set the mood for what we're going to be looking at today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know, of all the sermons that I've ever preached, this one this morning is one I feel the most inadequate to preach. It's about the wonderful grace of Jesus, as we've been singing about. You know, Jack Cottrell wrote a book here a while back called Set Free, and that's what he's all talking all about, grace and what grace does and all that. And it's a wonderful book. And there's many, many books out there on this matter of grace, but none of them are adequate. Every one of them is inadequate. They cannot fully express. You see, what happens is you have to experience it in your own life to understand it. I've read all kinds of books on it, and I still I cannot express what this grace is all about. Refer to sympathy and empathy. I like to refer to that. You know, sympathy and empathy are two different things. You know, I can know all about your problems and all the things going on in your life and all the troubles that you had. I can sympathize with you. But unless I have experienced those things in my own life, I cannot empathize with you. And grace is the same way. It's something I can talk about, like we read all the scriptures about, but unless you have experienced it in your life, you're never going to fully understand and appreciate what it really means. You know, the Apostle Paul prayed three times that a thorn that he had in the flesh would be removed from him. And God didn't remove it, did he? Well, Warren Wiersbe writes a little article about that, and I'd like to share that with you now. It'll be on the screen. You can follow along. We get many of our blessings through transformation, not substitution. When Paul prayed three times for the removal of his pain, he was asking God for a substitution. Give me health instead of sickness, deliverance instead of pain and weakness. Sometimes God does meet the need by substitution, but other times he meets the need by transformation. He does not remove the affliction, but he gives us his grace so that the affliction works for us and not against us. When Paul accepted his affliction as the gift of God, this made it possible for God's grace to go to work in his life. It was then that God spoke to Paul and gave him the assurance of his grace. Whenever you are going through suffering and spend extra time in the Word of God, and you can be sure God will speak to you. He always has a special message for His children when they are afflicted. God did not give Paul an explanation. Instead, He gave him a promise. My grace is sufficient for thee. We do not live on explanations. We live on promises. Our feelings change, but God's promises never change. Promises generate faith, and faith strengthens hope. You see, God's promise is totally adequate for everything we have to face in life. It's totally adequate. He doesn't give us any reasons for it, but He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And so it is to be in our life as well. His grace is sufficient no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what it comes to your salvation or whether it comes to problems in life. God's grace is sufficient. And He will carry us through, and He'll make all things work together for our good, as He has promised in His Word. John chapter 1, verse 14, we read these words. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That word full comes from our old word pleroma, which means filled to capacity. And at the end is a coordinating conjunction that joins two equals. So not only is just grace, but grace and truth. And it's all completely filled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is completely full of it. And He extends all that to us today. The only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then we read in verse 16 and 17, for of His fullness, there's our word pleroma again, of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. That means that we have everything we need because God's grace supplies it. And grace upon grace means it's fresh every day. Kind of like the manna in the Old Testament. You remember the manna? They got it fresh new every morning, didn't they? Well, the grace of God is like that. We have grace unto grace. And He is sufficient to apply everything we need for as long as we need it every day of our life. What a great, glorious, and wonderful God that we serve. That word grace is a Greek word, charis. The New American Standard Bible is found 131 times. 131 times. Entire Bible is found 122 times. So that means in the New Testament, we find 122 times compared to 131, the ones that lacking in the Old Testament. So it certainly seems more important in the New Testament that we have than it was in the Old. But one thing for sure is, it's always been by grace. No one has ever been saved by the law. No one has ever been saved other than by the grace of God, all the way from Adam, all the way to the end of time. So if you're going to be saved, it'll have to be by the wonderful grace of God. Grace means favor, means thanks, and many other things that it has to do with when we try to explain grace. But grace isn't like electricity. It's a lot easier to explain what it does than what it is. You know, we say God's riches at Christ's expense, or different things we come up with, but none of it is adequate to describe this wonderful grace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see what it does, but not necessarily what it is. What comes to our salvation is a free gift of God. It's received by absolute surrender unto God. When you're absolutely surrendered unto God, it's a gift of God. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. There's no way you can get a hold of it other than a gift from God. And God does that at a specific time in our life. He tells us where He's going to meet us and give us that wonderful grace of Jesus. And it comes through absolute surrender unto Him. At God's appointed time, and God has appointed time, God has ordained the time when He will give us that wonderful gift of grace. If I told you I was going to give you $1 million tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, you just had to be here at the church. But if you showed up, you get that $1 million, wouldn't you? But if you didn't show up, you didn't get that $1 million. But you didn't earn it. In any case, you didn't earn it. All you had to do was be there to get it. God is the same way in our salvation. It's a free gift of God, and it is eternal salvation given by Him. And we only receive it when we surrender our life to Him. And there's an exact time and place He has ordained that that's to take place. And that's when you're baptized into Christ. It's the only place and only time that God has set forth and has ordained that you can receive this wonderful grace that He offers unto us. So the songwriter, Haldor Lilianus, he puts it best in song. And that's where I kind of got the title from a sermon this morning, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And that's the title of his song. And first of all, I'm going to quote it. You can read it on the board with me. I'm going to quote it. And we see the intellect and we see poetic genius of this man when he wrote this song. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall His praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful grace of Jesus reaching the most defiled by His transforming power, making Him God's dear child. Purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain. All sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Now I want to sing it so you'll understand something about His passion and some of the emotions He felt as He penned the melody for this song. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall His praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled. By His transforming power, making Him God's dear child. Purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name. Can you imagine how that man must have felt? Imagine his emotions and imagine just how he really got into that message and how that message got in to him. Well, the first thing that we'll look at today is there are only two methods or systems of salvation. There's the law system, and then there's the grace system. Well, the law system is closed. You no longer can be saved. You could never be saved by the law system. Only one person ever was kept the law system, and that was Jesus Christ. You cannot keep it. They did not keep it in Old Testament times. We cannot keep it in New Testament times. So, we are totally disqualified. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all, that's all inclusive, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we see they cannot be saved by the law system, because in order for the law system to work in your life, you'd have to keep everything perfectly the time you were born to the time you die. And we can't do that, so then that part of the system is no longer available to us. So now there's only one system available, and that is the grace system. That is the grace system. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's talking about the death there. He's talking about eternal death. He's talking about being cut off from God for all eternity. For the wages of sin is eternal death. Eternal death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Our salvation is eternal. It goes on forever. When God gives it to us, He gives it to us to stay. The only way we can not have that eternal life that He's going to give us, that wonderful grace that He applies for us, is if we walk away from it. We personally have the choice because we're free moral agents. So only we can do that. So I want us to listen and look closely at some scriptures we're going to look at here, kind of all in a row. The first one is Acts chapter 15 and verse 11. But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are. They were kind of in a little dispute there about circumcision and talking about the Old Testament law, talking to the Judaizers. And he's making it very clear here that even in Old Testament times, they were never saved except by the grace of God. Only by the grace that comes through Jesus Christ that God then gave to them can they even be saved in Old Testament times, because nobody kept the law. When Jesus came along, He was a sort of perfect sacrifice because He kept the law perfectly, and now He was the one who was available to be the sacrifice to pay the price for your sins and mine so that we could live eternity with God. And we have that eternal life. It comes by a free gift by God when we meet God where God said to meet Him, in that ordained place and time that God has given to us. So, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Where did it come from? The riches of His grace. And that cannot really be explained, can it? That's hard to explain, this wonderful grace of God, this wonderful grace of Jesus. And the riches. You know, the Apostle Paul, that's another place there, he talks about the unfathomable riches that's in Christ Jesus. He says it's unfathomable, it's indescribable. You cannot even begin to imagine about this. He had been face to face with Jesus. He had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And yet he would say that the things of Christ are unfathomable. They're indescribable. You cannot really understand unless you have experienced them in your life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, we looked at to begin with. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Well, that's pretty self-evident. I hope you write that scripture down, or you have it at home, you look at it often, and really give serious thought to what he's saying there, and that wonderful grace of Jesus that we have received as a free gift from God himself. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Well, it's made it available to all men, hadn't it? It appeared through Jesus Christ. And all those who will accept Jesus Christ will be able to receive this free gift of grace from God himself. This free gift of salvation, eternal salvation. A salvation you cannot lose unless you decide to give it up. You're the only one who can decide that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. What are we to do? Grow. That's an imperative. That's a present imperative. It's not only a command, but it's a continuous action in our life. The Bible tells us we are to grow in grace, knowledge, and truth, doesn't it? So it's not a one-time thing that we understand. It's a one-time thing given. But we'll spend the rest of our life as a sanctified life now. We're set apart unto God, and we will be growing in these areas every day of our life. Sanctification is an ongoing process, and we are growing every day of our life. We're either growing going forward or we're just going backwards. It's up to us. And when we have received that wonderful grace of Jesus, man, we are to grow in it day by day by day. And every day it'll become more meaningful to you. And as I have said, I'm inadequate. I'm very inadequate to even try to preach on this, inadequate to explain it. You have to experience it in your own life. And what a great experience it is. And what a great life it is as we continue to grow in grace, knowledge, truth that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, to him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. We are to grow. As I said, it's an imperative in our life. It is a gift. Don't overlook that fact. It is a gift. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. There's no way that you could possibly have this wonderful gift of grace that God gives us through the blood of Christ. It is a free gift given unto us. And all I can do is say thank you. And that's so inadequate, isn't it? Thank you. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That word thanks there, anytime that phrase is used, that comes from our word charis, which is grace. And it's not the usual word for thanks. So it uses a word that we translate grace so many times. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Indescribable. You cannot begin to explain to anybody. You have to experience it in your own life because it is indescribable. If Paul couldn't describe it, if Peter couldn't describe it, then I certainly cannot describe it. But you can experience it in your life when you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's found 8 times that thanks be to God. Thanks 8 times in the Scriptures. And it's always from the Greek word charis, which means grace. So the grace method is available to all, but it must be received. That's our next point. It's got to be received. Like any pardon that you get, even in this life, you have to receive it. You have the right to reject it if you do not want to take it. So secondly, grace must be received, and there's only one way that it can be received, and it requires total surrender on our part. Again, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. I hope you'll write that down and you'll give much thought to what it was saying here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. No one may boast. It requires total surrender of our life, and God gives it unto us. We all know the plan of salvation. You know, some think that's going to merit them something because they have been obedient to the gospel and because they continue to do things for the Lord, they think that's going to merit their salvation. Well, it doesn't. All that is your expression of thanksgiving and gratitude to God for what God has already done. You have received the power if you have the desire. And I hope it is today that I can just tweak your desire to reach out and to look at the Word of God and to experience this in your own life. Because only then can you have that glorious, wonderful life that God has provided for us. It does not merit our salvation. If one thinks that then they do not understand grace, nor do they understand salvation. The verses we looked at earlier makes it clear all we can do is total surrender unto God. Total surrender unto God. Nothing that we do could ever earn us one drop of that precious blood of Jesus. Nothing. Now, you give your body to be burned, such as the 1 Corinthians, the love chapter there. You give your body to be burned, you could do all those things. It merits you nothing as far as your salvation. All you're doing when you're doing the things God has told you to do and He's commanded in your life, all you're doing is showing forth your gratitude and your thanksgiving for what God has already done. And that sets you free, as Jack Cottrell says in his book. You are set free. When you understand this wonderful gift of grace that God has given you, you're set free to live life to the fullest. One is not prepared to die, live until he's prepared to die. And in Jesus Christ, there is no longer any fear. Perfect love casts out fear. So we express our love and our devotion and our gratitude unto God for all that He has done in our behalf. Luke chapter 17 and verse 10 makes it very clear for us. So you too, when you do all the things that are commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. God is a creator. God, we owe everything to Him. Everything. So everything we can possibly do, then it doesn't merit us anything as far as salvation. Because that's a gift of God. That's a gift of God. We do so again to express our thanksgiving and our gratitude unto God. Again, listen carefully to the words. We are saved by grace through faith in baptism for good works. Now, if you'll keep that in mind, then you'll understand, have a more full understanding of what this grace of God is all about. And that little poem I learned a long time ago that kind of expresses that. And I am reminded of it often. I repeat it almost every day. I will not work my soul to save, for that my Lord has done. But I will work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. If you'll keep that poem in mind, you'll be living a glorious and fulfilling life in God. So when we fully understand, then we'll have the abundant life that Jesus came to give. And He did come to give us abundant life, you know that? He didn't come to take away from our life. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. John chapter 10 and verse 10 makes that clear. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that's a far beyond even explanation of what abundantly is when you experience the grace of God in your life. So we must totally understand that our joy, happiness, and peace in Christ is dependent upon our acceptance of His grace. Our acceptance of His grace. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't deserve it. The only thing you can do is surrender your life to God and let God make that miracle take place in your life. And then you'll live the rest of your life in gratitude for what He has done for you. Well, thirdly this morning, upon genuine acceptance of the second point we just made, there's only one way to live. You cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the God nature in your life and not live a godly life. It's an impossibility. The nature of God in you will not allow you to live otherwise. That doesn't mean you live a perfect life. It just means that your lifestyle is going to be one of holiness. One of holiness, one of gratitude, and one of showing your thanksgiving unto God every day of your life for all that He has done and accomplished in your life. Only one way to live, no other way is possible, if you have received this wonderful grace of Jesus. Only one more life to live if you have God's nature in you. And it'll be warring against the flesh all the time, won't it? And you may fall into sin from time to time, but it will not be your lifestyle. If you've got the nature of God in your life, the Holy Spirit's come in to live, you have to live a godly life. You have to live a godly life. Acts chapter 2 has now become a reality in our lives. You'll see the chart on the screen. It should be bringing it up there. God's simple plan of your salvation. Well, first of all, you must come to understand, love, and know the person of salvation, and then you obey the plan of salvation, which is very simple for us, very costly to God. We come to what? We believe, and then there's one thing that's been left out, I believe, in what we're trying to tell people, that is you fall in love with Jesus. And if you come in genuine faith, how can you help not fall in love with Jesus? If you come and you read the Gospels, you learn all about Jesus, you learn all about God and all that they have done for you. How can you help but fall in love with Jesus? And if you have fallen in love with Jesus, then you're going to want to repent, aren't you? You're going to want to have a turnabout in your life. That day forward, you're going to want to live for God with His help. That's a decision that you make. And then we are to confess Him before men. Confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And not only at that time, but every day of our life will be a confession that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we'll be immersed. And what happens when you're immersed? When you're immersed, you receive forgiveness of sin, and the Holy Spirit comes in to live, and God's grace is applied to you at that very moment. At that very moment, because that is a place of God's choosing. A place of God's choosing. God says, when you read me here, then this is what I'm going to give to you. And then there's a life to be lived we're talking about now. A faithful life. A life of being determined we're going to live for God no matter what comes our way in life. And His grace is sufficient for everything that comes our way in life. We are now enabled. We are now able to implement God's will for our life. We have the power if we have the desire. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. You have more power than Satan. The only thing is you have to have the desire to activate it in your life. Activate your life. What we find in Philippians 4:13, we've quoted all the time, is it a reality in our life? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens us. What a great and wonderful promise that He's made unto us. What a wonderful grace that He has given unto us. A wonderful gift from God Himself. And what does it require? It requires continued full surrender and growth. Full continuing growth. One of the most important scriptures you'll find anywhere in the Bible is found in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Now you need to meditate upon that. You need to look at that at home and spend more and more time upon it. I've been crucified with Christ. That means the old man is dead. The old man is to be buried in with Christ. And we are to rise to walk in newness of life. And the life which I now live, I don't live for me, I live for Him. And as I live that life for Him, I'll have the greatest life for me. Because it works out that way. If the paradoxical things that God calls us to do that we think could not possibly bring us joy, peace, and happiness will bring us that exact thing if we try it out. It seems paradoxical, but it is true. It's a very serious verse, and we need to take it seriously in our own lives. God provides all I need to make the journey successfully from the birth to the grave. It's all about Him. It's all about Him and my surrender of my complete being unto Him. We have the power if we have the desire. And as I told you many times, desire is stronger than will. You may will to do something, but if the desire is not there, it's not going to happen. So if we will, we have the desire to do the things of God, then we will be able to do them. Why? Because God has empowered us. We have everything we need to be and become all that God wants us to be and become. We have everything we need to make our journey faithful from the cradle to the grave. God has provided it, and we have to accept it. It cannot be had without being accepted. This is one time in our life we can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It's an impossibility. Only by the grace of God can we have the life that we really need and will enjoy. Anyone who goes to hell has only themselves to blame. Only themselves to blame. We have received God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense, as the acrostic shows. And what a wonderful and powerful grace it is. Well, in conclusion, what have we learned? What have we learned? Number one, we cannot be saved by the law method because we have sinned. Number two, only way open to us and all who have lived, Old Testament or New Testament, is the grace method. Number three, the grace method is a free gift totally given by God through the sacrifice of Jesus. Number four, we cannot ever earn it, we can't buy it, nor in any way deserve it by what we do. We need to get that fact in mind, especially. Number five, upon reception, we are totally saved forever. It is he calls it eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. Why is it called eternal? Because it is eternal. The only way we can lose it is by our own choice. The only way we can lose it is by our own choice. We are now sanctified. That big magical word there just means we're set apart unto God. It means we're set apart unto holiness. We're set apart to be and become all that God would have us to be and become. We are set apart unto God and empowered by the Holy Spirit for holiness and Christian living. Our sanctification is a lifelong process. A lifelong process. It is failure proof unless we quit. It is failure proof unless we quit. It's all in our hands. Well, to end right, we must begin right. And how does it begin? It begins with total surrender to Jesus in all matters of life, and by His power, a great desire to live for Him, and He will add everything else. He will add everything else. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Well, I hope that we have tweaked your desire today to know more about this matter of grace, because no one can explain it to you. No one can be adequate in bringing it about to you. The only thing that has to happen is it has to be experienced in your life. And once it is experienced in your life, I tell you, it's the greatest life that one can live. But it all begins whenever we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come in genuine faith, that is a faith produced by the Word of God. It is that faith then that we come to see all the goodness and kindness of God. We see the love of Jesus. We see all about this wonderful grace that's going to be offered unto us. And as we receive all that, how can we help but want to repent? How can we help but want to let Jesus have His way in our life? As we understand and realize all that He has done in our behalf, and we come to have a little bit of understanding about this wonderful grace of Jesus. And only then are we ready to confess what we believe in our heart with our mouth. And we actually believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And with His help, I want to live this day forward in a way that pleases Him. That's what confession is all about. That's what we're going to do in our life. And then to be immersed. Meet God where God said He would meet you. Where He will apply that grace to your life. We have the forgiveness of our sins when we're immersed into Christ. We come in contact with the blood of Christ. Sins are forgiven. Past, present, and future. Not just the past. Past, present, and future. It is there for all eternity. And it's all there for us. And we have received the Holy Spirit into our life. And He is going to guide us and lead us and bring us to be and become all that God would have us to. If it is our desire. If it is our desire. And then if we'll be faithful until death, He'll give us a crown of life. It all begins meeting God where God said He would meet you, and being immersed into Christ, receiving the forgiveness of sins, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And at that point, we receive the wonderful grace of Jesus. And what a wonderful life it is from that point on. And it's a growing thing. We are sanctified. We are to grow grace, knowledge, and truth every day that God gives us a breath of life. Until that day we go to be with Him for all eternity. Is that taking place in your life? If not, you have the opportunity now, as we're going to be standing and singing our hymn of response. It should be on your screen. "All to Jesus I surrender." That's what's required. "All to Jesus I surrender."